radio station WVON of Chicago, Illinois, on the 19th of November, 1997, conducted the following interview with Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman.
On our live line, we are pleased to have a gentleman who is going to be speaking at the DuSable Museum tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Tomorrow, W. Dean Muhammad, Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, will be speaking at the DuSable Museum, and it is about support of our youth and family, and we are pleased to have the Imam on our live line. Welcome again to WVON, and thank you for joining us. Good morning, Imam Worth Dean Muhammad.
Well, thank you, and good morning. It's a pleasure again to be on WVON.
We certainly appreciate your being with us, sir. Just so people know to whom we are speaking, of course most of us do, but we want to make sure everyone knows, just give us a little background about Imam Worth Dean Muhammad.
Yes, well, I was brought up in the Nation of Islam. Nation of Islam started in 1931 in Detroit, Michigan, in the most depressed areas that black people lived in, and it appealed to the most depressed, the most illiterate, the most culturally deprived, the most depressed, but those who felt proud and wanted better conditions in their life. It attracted them, and it remained that way until about the, I would say, 1952 or so. And then Honorable Elijah Muhammad changed his emphasis from a kind of secret religious movement that was trying to kill race pride in black to a movement that emphasized material change for the better in the black in the life of African American people. So he began to stress business. We have to have a business presence in the community, in the neighborhood. He began to attract people who were more literate then, better educated, more literate, and leadership improved. Malcolm was one of those who were attracted, and I was experiencing all of that all along. And then I came to differ with the theology or with the idea of God in the Nation of Islam, and it caused me to be questioned and put out of the Nation of Islam, excommunicated twice. And I end up turning more and more to the universal message of Islam as believed by over 1 billion people on this earth. I began to turn to the holy book of all Muslims, that's the Quran, that we had too. The Nation of Islam had the same holy book, but we just weren't consulting it and getting our ideas from it. And I have changed. My way of thinking had to change because I was seeing that we were in great conflict with the teachings of Islam, and I was seeing, before even then, I was seeing that our idea was really too small for the demands that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was putting on us. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was demanding that we accept responsibility not only to our race, but also to the family of mankind and to the whole world. He said we should dignify ourselves in the world of mankind. And the young students in the Temple of Islam, our private school, the University of Islam it was called, it was elementary school. I was very curious and I was very serious about doing the best that all Elijah Muhammad was asking us to do, conforming to the best. So it brought me to question even the program for the Nation of Islam. I thought that a lot of the teachings needed to be broadened. They need to be made more universal. So Donald Elijah Muhammad finally accepted me back after rejecting me twice, and gave me the freedom to go throughout the Temple of Islam, temples and nations there, into every state and cities where we had a good population of his following, and to speak to them. He did that in 1972 and 73. And by the time that he passed, that was in February 1975, I was again known in the following of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and was perhaps his most active spokesman at that time, not Farrakhan.
Mm-hmm. So your father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, was the one who excommunicated you on two occasions.
Yes.
And brought you back.
That's true.
What is the basic theological difference? Why, can you tell us just briefly? Because I that's
Yes, something. I believe the one who conceived the theology and the plans for the Nation of Islam, especially its message to black people and its program of education, the school, private school. His name is, in our records, his name is Farad, but spelled F-A-R-D in the Encyclopedia Britannica, you'll find it F-A-R-D.
Yes.
But the pronunciation is F-A-R-A-D, Farad.
Okay.
This man, he was not an American. He came from outside. We were, some say from Arabia, some say from the area that's called Pakistan now. It wasn't called Pakistan before 1947. But it's called Pakistan now, and I'm convinced that he came from that area, from the Ahmadi community, an unpopular branch of thought or believers, an unpopular branch of Islam that is called Ahmadi. I believe he came from there in Pakistan, Lahore, Pakistan. This man, he formed the idea, and the idea was to give us a sense of great worth. He flattered us and said that we were the original people, the first people, but he said more than that, because you know now there are theories that civilization did start, humanity started in Africa.
Right.
But he went further than that. He said that we were God, that God was not God the way we thought of God in the religions of the world. But he said God was an evolved God. God existed always, but God himself evolved. And God was in the black people, not in the white people. He said that the devil, Satan, was in the black and the white people, and God was in us. So we were the God people, the God family, and they were the devil family, or the Satan family. And that's the main difference. That's the thing that stands out as the real, real problem.
Which is something.
If we want to say we are Muslim.
Which you found unacceptable.
No, it's unacceptable.
Yes, right.
Unacceptable.
Yeah,
that's
unacceptable,
true.
Right. And then after the death of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which was, what, February 75?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. What happened at that point that caused the division between you and the present spokesperson that eventually became, of course, Minister Farrakhan?
When the convention, the annual convention here in Chicago, accepted me, the national leaders came out, and they, after my brother, I have a brother who was the minister at that time, too, Nathaniel Muhammad, he's called Musalla, Nathaniel Muhammad spoke, and then Minister Farrakhan spoke, and lastly, I spoke. And the national leaders announced to the great annual gathering there of about 20,000 people that they were placing me before them as the person who should be the leader of the Nation of Islam. And they overwhelmingly approved my leadership. I became the leader on that day, February 25th, 1975. Minister Farrakhan stayed with us until about 77, around 77. In 77, the biggest pilgrimage by African Americans ever to happen on in America. We went to Mecca to visit the sacred precincts of Mecca as pilgrims with millions and millions of Muslims from around the world. And it was also at the same year, I believe, it was 77. That Minister Farrakhan decided that he could no longer stay with my leadership, and he came to me. He told me first. To my knowledge, he didn't make a public statement. Others knew of this, but he had not made any public statement before he brought it to me. And he told me that he said, "You have slandered your father, and we have lost many of our young." He said, "Even one of the members of my own family," he said, "have gone back to the streets," he said. "So I'm forced to go out and represent the Nation of Islam and reestablish it, because we were no longer identifying as the Nation of Islam. I thought the Nation of Islam's message, political message, and separatist message was too strong, and I wanted to get away from that message, and I thought that that language wouldn't help us get away from that message. So I had the support of the people to put down that language. So we stopped identifying as the Nation of Islam. I told Minister Farrakhan at that time that I respected his concerns and respected his right to go out. He had freedom of conscience. We have to accept that.
Yes.
And I told him he should not expect me to attack him publicly or to try to make any trouble for him. I meant violence, because you know we also had some violence in our history.
Certainly.
Yes. So I wanted him to know that he wouldn't have to fear that I would order any violence against him. And he believed me and he trusted me until today. We trust each other. We are not out to hurt each other. This thing is not personal. He's my enemy. If he's my enemy, he's my enemy because of what he represents as Islam. And it's not Islam. It is not Islam. When he say that black man is God, that's not Islam. But if he says that the white man is inherently evil, that's not Islam. That's not Islam.
So what you have here is a basic, honest disagreement relative to the theology of Islamic fundamentals.
That's true.
Yeah. So and I think that's in fact. And before we go to a break, Imam Muhammad, we have to. I understand. He says the same thing you're saying, that you certainly aren't enemies. You know that you talk and so forth. And there have been reports, not from you nor the minister or his agents, that you all are getting even closer. Can you tell us whether there's any truth to that?
Yes, it's not happening because we have any contact with each other. We don't. But it's happening because he's a very intelligent man, and he's going to do what will keep him in good image with those who support him, and that's his following firstly, but also Gaddafi of Egypt, of Libya.
Mm-hmm.
Gaddafi of Libya is, no matter how radical and how extreme he looks in the eyes of American people, he is a Muslim, and he's not going to continue to give financial support to a personality as strong as in the public eye as Farrakhan, if Farrakhan doesn't bring his language to conform more to the language of Muslims of the world.
We have on our live line Imam Worth Dean Muhammad, the leader of the Muslim American Organization, and we are so happy to have him. He's going to be speaking at DeSalvo Museum tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Admission is free. The statement is going to be in support of our youth and family, and there will be a 40-minute lecture and a half-hour question and answer session thereafter. And if you want further information, you may get it by calling 312-425-9022. We'll be back with Imam Worth Dean Muhammad after we get the latest in the traffic, the weather, and the news from Monique Carradine. Good morning, Monique.
And good
morning. We're back. It's 8:40, and our live line guest is the Imam Worth Dean Muhammad, spokesperson for the Muslim American, and we are pleased to have him with us. Again, Imam, thank you for joining us. And tomorrow, you will be at DeSalvo Museum speaking at the doors open at 6 o'clock. Admission is free, and Imam will be calling on our men to support our youth and family. And for further information, you may call 312-425-9022. Let's go to the phone for our guest. Good morning, Parrish. You're on WVON.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
While I respect your opinion to have a religion, I feel that neither Islam, Christianity, or Judaism is any good for black people. And I have come to this conclusion that white people have all the money and black people have all the religion. So have a good day, gentlemen.
You care to respond to that?
Yes, I'm not hearing it very clearly.
The caller simply made a comment that he doesn't think that any of the religions are good for black people because we have all the religion and white people have all the money.
Well,
that's his opinion,
well,
right?
Well, I don't know what to say about it.
Well, don't bother. It's okay. Zakiya, good morning. You're on WVON.
Yes. Good morning, Cliff.
How are you?
Good morning to the radio audience. And assalamu alaikum, our brother Imam.
Alaikum assalam.
Okay, I have just two or three quick points I want to bring up. Well, questions. Can you explain to the radio audience why you did not attend the Islamic conference that was hosted by the Nation of Islam this summer? And what are your feelings about the brothers that came here from the East, the Islamic scholars that crowned Minister Farrakhan as the Imam and the Islamic leader of the world? And Minister Farrakhan's relationship to Sudan, Saddam Hussein. I really would like to know how you feel about their relationship and Minister Louis Farrakhan's relationship with other heads of countries in the East. And is your message tomorrow night that you're going to speak on at the Dusaba Museum, is it the same message that Minister Farrakhan is teaching and your father before him, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, is teaching? Is all of this one and the same message? And I'll hang up while you explain.
Okay, what was the first one?
He explained why he did not attend the Islamic conference that was hosted by the Nation of Islam.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because all of his brothers were there, and
okay,
we were looking to see him there.
Got it.
And he didn't have a spokesman either.
Okay, thank you, Zakiya. Okay, go right ahead, Imam Ahmad.
Yes. When she said all my brothers, she means my brothers and my mother and father.
Yes.
All of them weren't there, but there were some there.
Uh-huh.
Now, the reason why I did not accept the invitation to attend was because I wasn't given an invitation to be a part of the planning
mm-hmm.
of that meeting. I think as a leader representing a lot of Muslims in this country, I should have been invited to be a part of the planning. And if I was going to be invited to chair a workshop on the moral direction for us, and that's what I was invited to do, chair a workshop on the moral direction for us, but I was not invited to be a part of the planning, so I thought it was a disrespect, not to me personally so much, but to the people I represent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I didn't accept.
Okay.
And I had some suspicion that that was the meeting that had occurred, not so much because of us deciding it, but because of a relationship that the Nation of Islam has with Gaddafi, the president of Libya. And I didn't want to come in the dark. I didn't want to be coming to something not knowing exactly what was happening. And I was never told what was happening.
Okay.
I was just invited to chair the workshop.
Mm-hmm.
So it was my decision. And what did I think about the scholars that came over? I think that those scholars came over with good intentions, hoping that their embracing Farrakhan would influence Farrakhan to come more in line with what is true Islam. And I think that's Gaddafi's interest, and I do believe that was the scholars' interest.
The relationship with...
As far as my relationship with the Nation of Islam?
No, she wanted to know what you felt about Minister Farrakhan's relationship with Gaddafi, which you've already mentioned,
with
but also Saddam Hussein.
Yes, with the leaders.
Yes.
On the one hand, I think when it's published that he is seeking support and receiving support from a person who's seen as, well, an enemy of the United States government. Not the people, but the government of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it presents one problem on the one hand. But on the other hand, I think that the president, Libya, and those scholars have good intentions. And they believe that by embracing Minister Farrakhan then will come closer to the religion. So I support that.
Okay.
While on one side I have caution mm-hmm. and real serious concern. Okay. On the other side, I'm positive and supportive.
Zakiya's last question was the thesis of your talk tomorrow and at the DeSalvo Museum.
Yes.
And
yes.
is it the same as your father?
Yes, it is the same.
It is the same.
And no, the question is it the same?
Yeah, is it the same?
The interest is the same.
Okay.
The Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a very clean and sincere interest in seeing our people improve the conditions of their life
mm-hmm.
and have better direction in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to see our men accepted more responsibility for the family and for the wife, for the family, for their mothers and their wives and the family. And this is the message that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave to us. And this is the message of all civilized people and all decent religious communities. So it is the same.
It is the same.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Let's take another caller for our guests. Imam Worth Dean Muhammad. Larry, good morning. You're on WVON.
Good morning, Clifford Kelly.
Good morning.
Guest.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. I wonder if your guest realizes that he came from a family that is one of the smartest families in the world. It's the Poole family. Elijah Poole came from Pittsburgh and Detroit to Chicago and set up the religion here, the Muslim religion. But the Pools, who are the Pools? There in the Chicago, there's Joe Poole, who was one of the smartest persons. He's gone. Julian Poole and Virgil Poole. In fact, I saw Virgil last night. He was former police chief of Harvey. And that they came from the smartest family, the Poole family. And as they farmed the Muslim religion, they had all kinds of businesses, stores, factories, everything, and Bob Lavelle was their newspaper for them, the Crusader, until they got their own press, which they had the largest press down at 22nd near King Drive.
Yeah, Larry, that's great, and we certainly appreciate all of the great work that the family has done. Dean Muhammad, we start a little late with you. We got a number of people that want to talk to you. Can you stay with us a little longer?
Yes.
Okay.
Happy to.
Okay. We really appreciate that. He's going to continue with us. So those of you on the line, please hold. We are pleased to have with us on our live line Imam Worth Dean Muhammad, the spokesperson for the Muslim American Organization. And he is speaking tomorrow at the DeSalvo Museum of African American History at 740 East 56th Place at 6 o'clock. The admission is free. The subject, he is calling on our men to support our youth and family, and we are pleased to have him with us. So he's going to stay with us a little longer. Stay with us while we get the latest in the traffic and the weather from Monique Carradine, and then we will hear from Carl Rowan in the Rowan Report, and we'll be back with our guests. Monique, it's 8:59. We're going to get some headlines from Monique, then the Mutual News. We're going to come back with our live line guest. And good morning again. It's 9:06. This is WVON, 1450 AM, the talk of Chicago. I'm Cliff Kelly. This is the Cliff Kelly Show. And it is midweek already, Wednesday, November 19th. And we are continuing an excellent conversation with a gentleman who has consented to stay with us, and we appreciate that. He is Imam Worth Dean Muhammad, a Muslim American spokesperson. And thank you, Imam, for consenting to stay with us and take a few more calls. We really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you.
And also we want to reiterate, for those of you who may just be tuning in, our guest will be speaking tomorrow at the DeSalvo Museum, calling on our men to support our youth and family. That's the DeSalvo Museum at 740 East 56th Place. Doors open at 6 o'clock. Admission is free. And for more information, you may dial 312-425-9022. And we'll go right back to the phones. Good morning, Fred. You're our first-time caller.
Yes,
thank
I
you.
Am. You're How are you doing this morning, Mr. Kelly?
Thank you so much for calling WVON.
Yes, I would like to address a question to Mr. Muhammad.
Sure.
Okay, I was a telephone repairman over in Hyde Park, and I mostly did the TV telephone work for the mansion. I would like to know why, when he died, did they take all the pictures of him down, Elijah Muhammad, and put them behind the couches and chairs?
The question is why, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad died?
Yes. I worked in the house right after, shortly after that. I noticed that all the pictures
were taken down.
taken down, and they were behind the couches and chairs.
Behind the couches?
Yes.
I know nothing about that. I know nothing of that.
Yeah.
So that was a doing of those people that were responsible for, I guess. I stayed there myself for a little while. They insisted that I move in after the passing of Elijah Muhammad.
Mm-hmm.
The leadership in Chicago insisted that I move into the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I did move there, and I stayed there with my wife and children and family. For about a half a year, I believe.
Yes.
And I don't recall of taking any pictures down.
Okay, well, I was in there.
After I moved out of there.
Yes, because I know the mansion very well.
Yeah, but...
And I went in as on a repair job afterwards.
Yeah.
And I noticed that the pictures
I tried
to question somebody then, but I didn't say nothing about it.
Perhaps since, of course, there was no division with the minister... And the imam until 2 years thereafter, after the Honorable Elijah's death, Fred, maybe they took him down maybe they were cleaning walls or something.
I don't know. I just,
whatever.
They're
there now. I can tell you that.
All right.
Thank you so much for your call. Appreciate it. 909. We'll be right back with more calls. 5915-990. Back and continuing our conversation with our live line guest, Imam Worth Dean Muhammad. And let's go right back to the phones. Good morning, Edmund. Thank you for holding. You're on WVON.
Yes, good morning, Cliff. Peace be within you and the least listening audience. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Imam. This is Edmund Abdullah. I wanted to bring... To the conversation. On page 3, the Chicago Tribune today, Storr Rowley is speaking on the 58 foreigners and 4 Egyptians who were massacred by, as the newspaper article says, it was a Islamic militant group. And what I wanted to do, that article is on page 3, is very... It talks about how these people were massacred and cut, noses cut off and ears cut off. And they blame an Islamic group for doing that, a group called Al-Gamma, Al-Islam, under leadership of a sheikh that they claim bombed the World Trade Center. And Islamically, it's very offensive. My concern is that we clarify the Islamic position on murdering innocent human beings. I wanted the Imam to speak on that concern, because a lot of people think that Muslims are terrorists or murderers, and the issues in Israel as well as Egypt and Iraq, you know, those issues are Muslim or Islamic issues. And there's a difference, I guess, of Muslims and Islamic issues, because some Muslims are not practicing Islam, and they are given bad concepts about Islam and what it represents. And I think, I'm really offended personally by the article that I read. That also Cup's column today, he speaks of the imam speaking at tomorrow, but he also says that the subject is to the youth. It doesn't say he's calling on the men to support our youth and our families. And sometimes the way we report things, you know, it gives a whole different connotation. And I know Mr. Cup received the information that the imam was calling on all men to support our youth and families, but you know, it gives a whole different picture of what his subject is tomorrow in Cup's column. In the Sun-Times.
Well, I think, in all due respect, Edmund, and I understand your point, but I think what Cup has written is very productive. Let me state it so people know from which you're speaking. This is a quote. Imam W. Dean Muhammad, spokesman for American Muslims, speaks Thursday at the DuSable Museum on the subject, quote, to support our youth and family, end quote. He is a major factor in bringing American Muslims in direct dialogue with the leaders of Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, in keeping with the teachings of the Quran. I don't see anything wrong.
Well,
Imam, do you see anything wrong with that?
Excuse me.
That is correct. That's very, Very, very correct.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. And the fact is that it's an announcement, a positive one, about the fact of what the Imam is doing, Edmund. I think you're overstating the case on that one.
Okay, Cliff, what I was addressing is the subject that the Imam is speaking on is calling on our men to support our youth and children.
You're splitting straws, Edmund. Huh? I think the fact that he didn't have to put anything in there, it's not a news item, it's a column. People pay to have stuff put in there. I don't know what the deal was, but I think it's very positive. I think he got a nice picture of it.
I'm on the accuracy of what the title is.
Okay, fine. Call Cup and tell him you don't want it in there. Okay?
Well, I plan to.
Okay.
I plan to.
Very good. Thank you so much. Let's get back to the other question that you mentioned. I hope that people don't. I don't have a problem with what you said. You don't have a problem with what Cup put in there, Imam?
No.
Okay, fine.
It's very correct. It's very clear. And I appreciate it myself.
You should. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
That's why I took issue. I had read it earlier. That's why I didn't want to let him suggest to anybody that Cup did something that was wrong. I think it's very positive, and you should appreciate it.
Thank you.
There's a nice picture, and it states everything in there is positive.
Yes.
The other thing, I hope people don't think, as Edmund believes they might, that all Muslims are in favor of terrorism. I'd like you to respond to that, but we have extremists on all sides.
That's
there are Jews
true.
Going around killing people.
That's true.
There are Muslims, there are Christians going around killing people, but that doesn't mean all Christians, all Muslims, all Jews are bad.
And that's true, and I think that's the best way to respond to the question. The religion is in society. Religion is founded upon the Word of God, revealed Word of God. And it's in human society to be a sign from God, to encourage us to become better and better people. It doesn't mean that we're going to be angels or perfect, no, but we have this help from God,
mm-hmm.
religion.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll find in Muslim world, throughout the Muslim world, international world of Muslims, you'll find people, just like they are in other religions, whether Christianity or Buddhism or any other religion, who are having political problems, and they are not informed in
right.
their religion.
In fact, we've had more people killed
yeah.
in the name of religion than anything.
Yes. So
they're
not knowing what demands of their religion has on their political performance or on their engagement in war or violence. And they have to have their leaders. Their leaders in religion should come out and denounce those actions that are detrimental to human society, to human life, and especially those that are in conflict with the Word of God. And we do. Religious leaders come out
yes.
and we denounce senseless violence and terrorism, that it has no support in religion. Terrorism will accept to kill the innocent
mm-hmm.
to get a message over to those that they think should be listening to them, you know.
Absolutely.
And this is not accepted in religion.
We'll be right back with more with Imam Worthdeen Muhammad right after we get a quick check on the traffic and the weather. It's 9:21. Monique Carradine. Khadija, good morning. First time caller. Thank you for calling WVON. You're on with Imam Worthdeen Muhammad.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. Imam Worthdeen Muhammad, I talked to you, I think, once before on the other radio program. And what I was calling about, I'm hearing about you're going to be talking at DuSable High on youth and family.
No, DuSable Museum.
DuSable Museum.
Yes.
Okay, what I want to ask is this. I was a devout follower of all the information you gave from 77 on through. And I just want to share something with you. I want to share with you that you taught us very well about al-Islam, but the one thing that we seem to be missing here, and I'm not speaking up for Farrakhan, but I'm saying that Farrakhan does come with a program that educates, and he comes with a program that will help to especially give the African-American man self-esteem, and we know how much that's been torn down. And I think you yourself have taught so many classes, and you taught so well about upliftment. Now, what has happened? We don't have, you say that, I think last time you told me, you said that we do have things happening very well in Philadelphia. We have schools, we have programs, but we don't have them here in Illinois, in Chicago. What I want to say to you as far as youth and family is concerned, we have so many brothers and sisters who don't even know how to approach the Quran from an Arabian perspective. Now, much of my learning in Arabic has come from actually living in the Muslim Indian community, as I told you before, I want to make a suggestion to you. I suggest as you go to speak and you talk about the youth and family, that you, because so many Muslims will do and they will follow you, you come up with some programs to educate. Because if the adults, if the family members, many of them coming from up under the first resurrection, as we call it, they don't know the language, we need to get into the book and learn how to read this Quran. And if those adults don't know, they cannot teach those children. And I'm saying to you that we need this with a passion. Talking about the economics, talking about the politics, talking about all these things that we can accomplish as Muslims. If we don't get leaders, if we don't get teachers, if we don't get people who understand the basics of how this religion is built, then we have nothing to go on. So you're not going to live forever as your father didn't live forever. So we have to have a program that's functional and workable. And let me give you, and I don't want to take up all your time because I know you got other people that you want to bring on air, but let me give you an example of my life. I came in the community. I joined the community.
Can we let him respond to that, Khadija? Because we do have some time problems.
Yeah, I know.
Here.
I just, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, let him respond to that. Imam, go right ahead.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I share her concern, and the leadership that is with me, we share that concern. And the people are urging us here in the Chicago area to build a school. We did have a school, a very good school. In fact, I was the director of the school at one time here in Chicago. We had a very good school. We lost it. We lost it because of financial problems. The policy changed. Our way of getting contributions changed. We thought that we shouldn't have so much pressure on the poor people to bring in money that would enable us to support those very costly buildings that we were operating in.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to kind of retreat from that effort in order to one day get ourselves in a situation where we could do it in a realistic way. We are in a position now to do it in a very realistic way, and I want the sister to know that there's a strong effort going right now to have a center built here in Chicago area with me as a resident imam, and we hope to have a strong school here, elementary, preschool, elementary, and secondary soon. We do have some efforts. There's a good effort in Harvey, Illinois, and there are some other efforts around that in our community, in our association of Muslims.
Okay. Cool.
We were with the Farcon and his work that he's doing to keep a school, an elementary school, open.
Mm-hmm.
For the families of Muslims that are with him. We're with him. We're with any good work.
Right.
We support. We are obligated as sincere religious people, mm-hmm, to be in support of any good work that people are doing.
So Khadija,
and we want to have the same. But that doesn't mean that our association doesn't have good efforts in education. We do.
Oh, yeah.
We have a strong school, elementary school and high school, and we expect to have a two-year college soon in Atlanta, Georgia.
Very good. Okay. Marjorie, first-time caller. You're on WVON. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. I just like to say that, first of all, I'd like to comment on the leadership of Imam Muhammad. I used to be a follower of his father, Elijah Muhammad, and had an opportunity to work for him. And what I want to appreciate to the audience is that Imam Muhammad is one of the most honest and sincere leaders that I have had an experience to be in touch with. And it's very different when someone believes in freedom. And the community of people in society, for example, religion plays a very important aspect among human beings. And human beings only need to have the truth of what their life is all about. The first caller, for example, who said that religion, for example, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam were all the same, that leader is poignantly correct. Elijah Muhammad himself said in a
He didn't say that, Marjorie. What he said was that none of them are any good for black people, and all white people have money, all black people have is religion. He didn't say they were all the same.
Well, he had a point. He said that
his
they were
point
the same.
Was none of them are good for blacks. That's what his comment was.
Well, so they are same, and they have that in common, that they're not good for blacks. So that means they're the same as far as black is concerned. They're not good for black. That is saying that they're all the same.
No, it isn't. We disagree on what he said.
Well, Elijah Muhammad, you know what he said about that? He said, in the end, and Christians call these days the latter days, Elijah Muhammad said that in the end, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism were going to be together as one. And that brother, in the beginning, he poignantly pointed out that they're together as one as no good
for the
community.
No, that's not true. Just because something is bad for you doesn't mean it's bad in the same way, Margie. You are saying something he didn't say. Now, if you want to believe
no,
that,
he
fine.
Didn't say
but that,
that
is not what he said.
Yes,
I beg to differ with you.
They were going
to be
together as one.
To say three things are bad does not mean they're all the same.
No, it doesn't mean they're not good for the people, period.
Doesn't
in a
mean
day like what we're living in, they're no good for the people, proven for the people. They cannot help the people. They are, in fact, the cause of most of the problem in society.
Okay, so that's...
Caused by these three religions.
Does that include...
Because they have one thing in common, and the same thing in common, that the same common thread runs through all religion, leading people away from themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Elijah Muhammad wanted to lead people towards themselves.
So you are saying...
This is the one commonality that Islam...
So you are saying mainland Islam is bad then, is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying that Islam is not what the people need, and once Muhammad is in his research, he is going to come to the point where he will know that Islam, just like Christianity that was given to the slave, just like Judaism that puts people to look for something outside themselves in a reward and punishment situation instead of winning or losing. Something is either this or it's either that. You either have life or you have death. So basically the premise, the bottom line theology, the bottom line doctrine that these religions have cannot sustain human life.
Okay, let me ask you,
Margie,
can let me ask you a question, please? You mentioned the fact that you were working for his father, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad.
I sure did.
Are you involved in Islam at all now?
I have found in the Holy Quran, the book that the Muslims say is their book.
Right.
The bottom line of what life is all about. Life is...
Do you live...
effect.
Do you live...
I've seen that in the Quran. And what I want to say here is this. The world will come to know that these religions that teach people about a God outside of themselves imposing reward and punishment to humanity... is wrong.
Do you live by the Quran, Margie?
That somebody said that...
Margie, let me ask you this. You're being redundant. Do you live by the Quran? Can you answer that?
Me?
Yeah, do you live by the Quran?
I did once upon a time.
Okay, but...
Until it could not sustain my life anymore.
Okay,
because
right.
of the inherent problems in the Quran that teaches people to look outside of themselves...
Okay, I understand. Thank you so much. I get your point. I just wanted to make sure we understood each other. I think we do anyway. We'll be back in a moment with Imam Worth Dean Muhammad. Stay with us. The time is 9:31. We have some more calls. We're back with our live line guest, Imam W.D. Muhammad, and we are pleased to have him with us. We're going to take a few more calls. Brother Kubla, thank you for holding. You're on WVON.
Good morning, Brother Cliff. How you doing?
I'm fine.
And to the VON family, and to Assalamu alaikum to you, my brother.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. Brother, I just want to commend you for staying focused. I'm from the school of Minister Malcolm. I was taught by Brother Lukman. We hear that Malcolm X Black Hand Society, right after Minister Malcolm got assassinated. And I just want to let you know, I don't always agree with you or Minister Farrakhan, but I know this, according to the scripture, that both are needed. It's a balance, brother. And our people need the balance, you know. And I appreciate when the school get on the road, we need to bring the teaching of Christianity in with Islam so that we can show our people the parable and the parallel where blacks are involved in the Bible, in the scriptures, so that they'll know who they really are. And that's just not being a racist, from a racist attitude, it's just being factual and being truthful, my brother. Because we have played a tremendous role in our existence on the human race on this earth. And little is known about that. And when it comes to the teaching, our people need to understand where their role is in humanity of mankind. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brother Kuba. Did you want to respond to either Brother Kubla or the previous caller before the break? And I certainly wouldn't...
He has a quick response to the previous caller.
Yes.
You know, if we have a fixed opinion or a fixed idea in our mind, and we are going to something that we already have a fixed idea about, mm-hmm. or a fixed opinion about...
Yeah,
you're
talking about the lady before the...
Yes,
yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. You're going to miss a lot. You won't be justified, that person or that idea or that book or that what that you're reading.
That's correct.
So if you read the Quran with a fixed idea already, you got a fixed opinion of it already.
Sure.
You're not going to be able to see the beauty of the Quran.
You've already annotated and amended it.
Yes. Whether it's the Bible or Quran or anything,
yeah,
or
that's
a person,
right.
you get what you're looking for.
That's right.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So I have read the Bible and the Quran. I'm very much read.
That was not a mandatory request, Imam.
I don't get that opinion. Religion is telling us to go away from ourselves.
That's
it's
right.
It's telling us to first go look to face ourselves,
mm-hmm,
and see the good that God has created us with and believe in the goodness that God has created us with. And go to God for more help.
Very good. We have another first-time caller. Renee, you're on WVON. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, Cliff.
Good morning.
I'm like Imam Muhammad. I have a brief statement and one question.
Mm-hmm.
I'd just like to say, sometimes when a man like Imam Muhammad is seen in society, he's such a gentleman. He shows a lot of love, and he's bringing about unity among everyone, among all humanity. Sometimes people look upon this type of person as a weak person, but I myself see him as a one who is very strong, showing the society the direct way to go. Okay, excuse me, a little nervous.
Okay.
My question is, could Imam Muhammad please tell us about the concept of New Africa?
New Africa.
The concept of New Africa?
Yes.
New Africa is really an idea that has come about as a result of the businessmen in our association of Muslims being pressured to do something about the bad. Material conditions in our lives. And we have selected over a period of about 2 years now, we have gathered a strong group, a strong religious people, men and women now, women are with us too, who are business people. And the effort is to bring more business to African-American neighborhoods and to have the business influence also include the cultural life of our people so that we get the best from Africa in terms of what Africa has contributed to our cultural sense in America and our cultural life in America. And we also get the best of our evolution, our progress that we've made as a people from slavery till this present time. So it's going to be the New Africa is a name for business malls, business strips, business plazas, business efforts by our businessmen. And it already has been embraced by, Leroy Jones, the poet. He has Islamic name now. But those who were from back in the 60s, they recall Leroy Jones as a poet. It has been embraced by him, and a number of our African-American figures have already embraced the idea. So it's not ours anymore. It's New Africa is a concept that has been taken up by us, maybe initially by Muslims in my association or in our association. But now it's a concept that is and a vision that is embraced by African-American people in America.
Thank you so much for your call, Renee. Good morning, Lloyd. You're on WVON.
Good morning, Cliff Kelly. Yeah, you're the most illustrious E-man on that. That's why WVON should, everybody give some note. But see, one thing is significant. Assalamu alaikum, amen.
Assalamu
alaikum. Now, you know, Islam, we talk about the men and women's march. You see, Islam's the only religion that made God not a goddess, but a man. And relinquishing that Norse idea about the woman being the God. You see what I'm saying? Now, those are pagan ideas. Now, Jesus Christ, if you read Isaiah 37:11, spoke a language called Aramaic, Ahamra, and that's directly related back to the Egyptian pharaohs whom Allah revealed that God was one man. It was an Egyptian pharaoh. Aramaic is directly, can be directly traced to that. Now, whether we be Christian, whether we be Jew, or I don't like to say the word Jew, because Jew is an idea. I like to say the word Hebrew, which means donkey driver, or a Muslim. We are all children of Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael. from the lineage of Isaac came Jesus. And 750 years after that came the messenger Muhammad. Now, they talk about, I'm not against any religion, I study. They talk about denunciation. It's consistent in the Bible and the Quran. It was the angel Gabriel who talked to Muhammad in the cave. And he say, when the angel came to him, he said it to Sarah from Menorah. He said, you got to read. You see, and Muhammad said, I can't read. But he wasn't a literate man. He's a smart businessman. But he learned how to read.
Okay, Lloyd, we appreciate that. Thank you so much for your call. We're going to get one more call for our guest. Another first-time caller. Ruth, thank you so much for calling WVON.
Yes, sir. Thank you for listening to me.
Hmm?
I have a question for you.
I'm not hearing clearly, but too well, but I can recognize the greeting.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Imam. This is Sister Ruth calling. I was calling to ask you if you could clear up the real reason, the real focus of religion. You know, we have Judaism, Christianity, and religious through the years, and I wish you could clear up the real focus and the intent of religion.
Thank you so much, Ruth. Appreciate your call. Imam?
Yes. Yes, we believe that religion is a process, progressional work on this earth, and God started it with the first man in creation. He started that work. And we believe that it has been progressing or progressional ever since. And we believe that the focus changes. It was intended to change and become broader and broader and broader until the focus is on the whole human earth. That's the Bible and that's the Quran. So Islam, being the last of the revealed religions, Islam focuses more on man's responsibility in community life. And that's why I think the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was so much interested as a Muslim in bringing about improvements, material improvements in our life, in our neighborhoods. Islam is a religion that requires us to be responsible for our own souls before God privately, but its big focus and big concern is that we come out into society and be a factor for having better life in society.
Well, that was a great way to end our conversation, which I think has been very productive, and I want to thank you for spending this much time with us. We did not intend to spend this much, but we had so many callers and people who wanted to talk with you. We appreciate you being with us for this period.
On behalf of my supporters, I want to thank you, Cliff, and I hope to be on the show again.
We will certainly invite you.
Thank you.
And thank you, and have a wonderful day and a great speech tomorrow evening.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, call 1-708-201-9692. All right, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.